Microphone check one.
Check two. Check. Check.
We're good?
Hi, Duke.
Hey, Jeffrey.
Whose idea was this podcast? Like, not this specific one, but the whole idea?
The whole idea was created by Whit Calkins, who's sitting right there.
To do a podcast.
It was his idea.
You're actually
it's his baby.
For a real estate person, you're actually a pretty good interviewer. I've watched every one.
Thank you. I drank a little bit before we start, so I'm comfortable.
Well, not today. It's like
I'm just kidding. My mother and my mother-in-law are listening. I'm just joking.
1 o'clock. It's like on Friday. And then the sunglasses. This was your idea as well?
Unfortunately, the sunglasses were my idea. Okay. Yes.
I'll wear them. I might accidentally put them up.
That's fine. Whatever makes you comfortable.
Anyway. Well, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming. We are here at the Urban Hang Suite at 304 East Broad.
This is the third day of them being open.
It is. Kelly Lemon,
good
also
for Kelly.
On this podcast, opened this up, and it's in the heart of City Center, very close to a neighborhood called Navy Hill, which we'll get to in a second.
We will.
And right across the street from Gather City Center, which is opening up in May. So it's we are in the heart of all activity right now.
This is where things are happening. I used to work right around the corner at the paper.
At the RTD.
And walked through here very rarely because there was nothing here.
So that's one of the reasons I had you on is because you were a local entrepreneur. You used to work at the RTD, among other places, and now you own a company called Kelly Communications.
That's right.
Do you want to tell the crew just what that is?
Yeah, so I always like to start with my background when we're talking about my career is I started out as a journalist. I was a reporter. I covered business in Richmond for about 4 years. And, apologies to anyone who does actually hold an MBA, but I feel like those 4 years were like getting an MBA.
Sure.
You have an MBA.
I do. A real
one. Is that offensive?
Yeah. Not at all.
Okay, good. Thanks.
We're not a protected class.
Okay.
MBA holder,
yeah, it's true. Thank you.
Yep.
During that time, I got to meet small business owners, got to really cover the technology scene. Mm-hmm. I got to cover Circuit City, meet, as that was the downfall of that company.
Sure.
So I got to know a lot of people, but I also saw the direction of journalism. And it was not a. I don't think I had the stomach to deal with that as my career. And the folks who are over at the paper, I'm still friends with a lot of them over there. They're doing well and they're going through it and they're passionate about it. I'm passionate about journalism, but I wanted to do something more and kind of see what the business side was like. So, got out. I worked in a few agencies. Ended up at Health Diagnostic Laboratory.
Mm-hmm. Another great Richmond. Success story. At
great
one point.
Company. A huge. Nothing.
Failure at one point.
Nothing bad to say there. No, it was a wild ride. But I was in a round of the cuts they had, and that gave me an opportunity to launch. I would not say I'm a risk taker. I had an opportunity, and I took it. I don't know if that makes me an entrepreneur like Tenant Turner. But it did allow me to build on my connections and get out there and hustle. I feel like I missed my calling a little bit on sales. I really enjoyed the process of getting out there and trying to, turn people into customers,
clients. So you like the selling side of the business more than the running of the business? Or do you like the running of the business?
I like it all.
You like
it's
it
fun.
All?
Yeah, but the sales piece is something that's kind of surprised me in terms mm-hmm. of getting in and getting to know a client. And I really do care about the work I do. I have fun with it.
For any salesperson, it's much easier to sell a product when you truly believe in it. And I'm guessing you do believe in your services, correct?
I do. You kind of have to. I'm all in on this one.
Otherwise, what are we doing here, right?
What exactly? No, and I think that's a big part of it is believing in what you do. And
yeah,
I've got one of those jobs where it's like I don't get the Sunday scaries. Like
that's a good feeling, isn't it?
It is. It's very nice.
For somebody who had it, the Sunday scaries for 6 years, I called it Sunday dread, the same thing.
So, yeah.
The idea of not, like, you on Sunday at noon, you're like, hey, life's good. You know, watch football, watch the whole 60 minutes, and then the week starts, and you're
absolutely.
Fine with it.
Absolutely. And I think we live in a, I don't know about you, but the whole 9 to 5 to me, I tell people, is like, 9 to 5 is just out the door.
A guideline.
It's a guideline.
Starting point.
And I've hired a young woman, and I've told her, you don't have to be in here at 9, and you don't have to leave at 5. You can get in here when you need to, leave when you need to, but, I know she's going to be checking email in the evenings. Sometimes you got to stay late. Sometimes you got to kick in a few hours on the weekend.
Just got to get it done.
You just got to get it done. And that's kind of the world we live in now.
Right.
So the idea of sitting in an office for 8 hours is just not appealing.
So back to Kelly Communications.
Yes.
Why don't you tell the folks what Kelly Communications does?
So, when I first started out, I thought it would be straight public relations work.
Mm-hmm.
So helping clients get into newspapers, on TV, get into their trade mm-hmm. you know, their trade journals, what have you. But over time, people started asking for, I guess, what I call content,
right.
which I divide into three categories. It's copy, words,
mm-hmm.
pictures, mm-hmm. and video. So all that stuff you have on your website, stuff mm-hmm. you print and give to people,
right.
that's what we create.
Right.
And so we build those pieces and we push them out.
Right. So do you yeah. find a lot of times your clients will come to you for one of those things and realize, oh,
absolutely.
I need this, and you act as a
exactly.
quarterback.
So yeah, you get your foot in the door with, say, a brochure, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then they realize, oh, he does video animation like we've done with Dotson.
Property management.
Dotson Property Management.
Right.
Video production work, and it's fun. It's just one
yeah.
thing leads to another.
Yeah.
Referrals.
So that's that. So that's your, how many years are you into the business now?
3.5.
Okay.
And
what, being a small business owner for the first time, 3.5 years in, what surprises you? What do you like? What do you not like? What's different than what you thought it was going to be?
So here's the thing about starting your own business,
mm-hmm.
and I want to get your take on this as well. A lot
mm-hmm.
of people think it's risky. They
mm-hmm.
think, what about insurance? What about accounting? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? I didn't know anything
yeah.
about that side of it. I did have relationships,
mm-hmm.
and I knew how to do a certain type of work.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, once you get into it, and you start calling people, and the wheels start moving, you start to get work, you start to get multiple clients,
mm-hmm.
and you start to get repeat work, and then you get new business. And after a while, at this point, 3.5 years in, what I have is much more secure than one salaried job.
Mm-hmm.
So work ebbs and flows, you know, I don't... Often, I might have lost a client in the past, but
mm-hmm.
hopefully nothing that we've done. But if a client were to go away, you still have a base here. So what's surprising
mm-hmm.
to me about small businesses is actually how unrisky it can be if
mm-hmm.
you're set up with a client model in particular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some, maybe some businesses are not like that, but I do feel secure. So I work in healthcare and construction and development, and I've kind of spread my eggs across various baskets. But
right.
It certainly creates sleepless nights when you're doing everything. You know, you're
right.
trying to keep everyone happy. I want every client to think and believe they're the only client, which
sure.
they should.
Right.
Everyone is very important, and you become friends with them, but you have to deliver.
Right.
And but it's fun.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, back to the risk thing. Yeah, I tend to agree. I think there's different types of risk in starting your own business versus having a job. Like the risk of not making payroll, for example,
yeah.
something you never think about when you have a job, but you think about a lot when you're an employer. But to your point, you worked at HDL. You had a job one day. You didn't have a job the
yep.
next day. And I'm sure there's some kind of severance package, but after
sure.
that's over, you have no income, right?
Right.
And you have no control over that.
Right.
You could argue that you have some control whether an employer promotes you or keeps you, but there's in to this day and age, there's no guarantee that that employer might not have to make a cut tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, I think there's risk on both sides.
Yeah. And for someone like you, does your wife work?
Part-time now.
Part-time,
yeah.
yeah. You've got kids. You know, I've got 2 kids, one on the way.
Yeah.
My wife stays at home. This is the only option for me. I think
right.
it would be riskier to go in-house somewhere.
Sure.
And that job could be gone one day. So this
yeah.
is the path forward at
yeah.
this point. So
yeah, well, tally ho.
It's crazy.
Yeah, pin your ear. It's the thing
fun.
About risk too. Is like I think,
you take on a lot of risk, Duke.
Sure.
Like, how do you sleep at night?
Well, one way I like to think about it: if you have one thing to worry about, it may keep you up at night. If you have 300 things to worry
yeah.
about, then. Not, unless one of them's really bad, you're not going to think about. They're all going to blend together, and just like anything, just like in your business, you get up every day, you try your best, you do the best you can, and then as my dad would say, let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah.
And if you feel like you've given your best effort and a project goes great, great. If it doesn't, if you don't hit a home run on everything, if you tried your best, I can usually live with that. I do lose sleep if I feel like I haven't given my best effort or my team hasn't given their
oh,
best
man.
Effort on a project.
You've really hit the nail on the head.
Mm-hmm.
Back before doing this, I would always not like two people, but I would make
mm-hmm.
fun of like companies that have the words like integrity and honesty and stuff on their walls.
Right.
I'm just like, oh my God, every company has this. Like,
right.
Do you really believe that? And once you actually start doing this, you realize like, you know, those things are extremely important and it's all you have. And
right.
like you said, at the end of the day, look, stuff's going to go wrong, you know. Clients can get upset. You know, you might have to redo work. You know, projects could fail.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, you know, if you acted properly, if you acted
mm-hmm.
ethically, if you did your best, if you operated
right.
with integrity, like, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, like I gave it my all, right? And,
sure.
And you know, if you're out there backstabbing people and lying, like, then you really have something to worry about.
Sure.
So.
See, our business is very thankless at times. A lot of times people don't call us unless they're mad. And so we always tell our employees, don't base your self-worth on what someone thinks of you. Base your self-worth on how, if you gave it your best effort. So I try to practice that myself. It's not always easy.
Yeah.
Sure, there's some nights I don't sleep. But for the most part.
You're in a tough industry. I mean, I think a lot of people, you know, property management, you take the blame for everything. But the fact is, houses fall apart. There's maintenance. You know, you take the blame if a light bulb goes out,
sure.
Right? Like, and you guys are trying to kind of change that. And
I have,
full disclosure, Dodson does pay me sometimes for work, but I've seen your culture and the people there, and they really do care.
Yeah.
It can be frustrating, but you're building a culture there where people, like, want to do their tenants right.
Sure. Yeah, I agree. Thank you for saying that, and I agree. I think that's the best part about what we do is our people, and they genuinely do care. And when people care a lot, usually things take care of themselves. But, you know, in this Yelp and Google review culture, no one in our business jumps up and says, yes, this was a good month. Everything went like it's supposed to. Because when it goes like it's supposed to, it seems easy to the client. And they're, oh, yeah, it went well.
Right.
The tenant paid on time. They didn't do any damage to the property. Great, right? It's when things go badly, they get very emotional. But that's the business we've chosen, so I'm not complaining. You know, that's the business we've chosen. So I want to talk about one of your clients you're working with. Has a pretty interesting development going on. You're handling media for the group leading the Navy Hill or North of Broad development.
Absolutely.
Which we're about a block or two from right now.
Yes.
So do you want to tell the folks, because they're probably not listening to it today. Today, the mayor just yesterday announced his support of the project.
Yeah.
But tell us how you got involved in that project and where it's at now.
So, again, everything comes down to relationships. Mm-hmm. I joke, you know, you could deliver half the quality, but it's all about who you know, where you are, and just communicating with people. And the way I even got involved in this was relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some folks I knew through work were involved in this project, brought me in maybe a year and a half ago to kind of be that point person to respond to inquiries that we would have as this development progressed. So essentially last year, November 8th, actually 1 year, almost exactly 1 year ago, the mayor put out a request to redevelop this neighborhood. It includes the arena.
Right.
It includes the Coliseum, and it's not just about the Coliseum, though.
Right.
It is that entire 10-block neighborhood over there.
Right.
The goal of the development is to essentially restore a neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
It was called then Navy Hill. It was originally settled by German immigrants, became a prominent African-American community. We had the first school that actually hired African-American teachers.
Mm-hmm.
It was bulldozed when 95 came through,
right.
And then when completely destroyed when the Coliseum went in.
Right.
So it hasn't been a neighborhood in 40-something years.
Mm-hmm.
And the Coliseum has run its course. There's nowhere to live, eat, work over there. The streets are a mess. And this project is going to bring all that back. So what are we going to get over there? First of all, jobs. So to create this neighborhood is going to require, there's a VCU study that says 12,000 jobs to construct it.
And that's a lot, by the way.
That's a lot of jobs,
yeah.
By the way. And that's over about 2.5 years of construction whenever this, it would need to be approved by council. The second piece of this would be permanent jobs, so about 9,000 in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And I heard some questions yesterday, well, how 9,000, how's that possible? Well, you're going to have a 527-room hotel, you're going to have an arena, you're going to have hundreds of thousands of square feet of office space, ground floor retail, plenty of places where you're going to need to have bartenders and waiters and coffee shops, right? Easily 9,000 jobs in there. Let's say, though, that those numbers, cut them in half. It's still 10,000 jobs.
Right.
Right? Say the permanent job. It's still 5,000 jobs. You know,
right.
So, yes, it is a study. I think I've read through the study. I think it is well done. You know, hopefully those numbers will come to fruition. The other piece of this is affordable housing. So the mayor wants to build, I believe, or commit to 1,500 units. This is going to put 680 affordable housing units. So
yeah.
Housing for teachers and police, that kind of thing. In the neighborhood, in downtown and within the city.
Yeah. I'm going to jump in there because I think that's a big deal that a lot of cities are facing is a lack of affordable housing. Richmond's starting to really feel it. It's not nearly as bad as some places like San Francisco, but if we don't do something about it, it's going to get worse. And I think the mayor was right. You know, I'm always – usually when a development comes into the news, a lot of people are anti-development. I'm usually the person that's for development.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm biased because my office is in the neighborhood. So I admit to everyone in the world I'm biased about this. But – so I usually don't like government slowing down development. But I think the mayor was right in this situation to put his foot down and say, no, if we're going to do this, we're going to include affordable housing because it's not easy to snap your fingers and make 600 affordable units up here in the city, on transit, all the, you know, walkable to jobs, all that stuff. And so I'm really glad he did.
Yeah, and talk a little bit about affordable housing because I know this is as much a social issue as it is a financial issue.
Sure.
Why is affordable housing so difficult?
So the simplest way to explain it is when you're developing property, you have certain costs. You have land costs, you have construction costs. Those costs don't always go down in a prorated fashion if you lower your rent, right?
Right.
And so it's easier to develop Class A property than it is to develop affordable housing. I'm not the expert. I am trying to become the expert. It's going to take me years to fully understand how to develop affordable housing, but it usually involves some type of government boost, whether it's incentives, tax breaks, something to encourage developers to do it. So land, if I'm going to develop a Class A apartment building here and I pay X for the land and you come in right beside there, that's the land seller wants Class A prices for the land. They're not going to say, okay,
right,
sure, it's affordable, I'll give you a break. And so the person who buys this land is most likely going to put Class A housing. So it happens in Scott's Addition, it happens in Chaco Bottom, and happens everywhere. And so it takes some help to encourage folks to develop affordable housing.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, hopefully we're on the right track with it, with this announcement.
Yeah. So no, it's exciting. So walk the people that don't know the next steps. The mayor's announced his support. What's the city council is next?
So the city council will need to approve it.
Mm-hmm. Do you think they will? The first time?
I hope so.
Okay.
But the public needs to see the plans. That's been a big part of this. Is we've met. I actually just saw a few folks walk in here who have seen the plans. We've been extremely active getting out into the community. About 3,500 people at this point, yourself included, have seen the plans, given their input. That's what's important for people to know, is like this proposal didn't just come from the corporate community.
Right.
It came from the corporate community, nonprofits, individuals, communities. Every district in the city has given input on this plan.
Right.
And I would encourage anyone who wants to learn more about it to see the plans, which will be put online. Look at the models. If you need a friend who knows math, grab them and look through the numbers.
Right.
But let's not just go straight to the simple Coliseum or schools. You know, one thing we've been saying is this is a Coliseum for the schools. This is a way to create revenue for the city.
Right.
You know, this city is 64 square miles, and there are 10 square blocks over there that are producing nothing. In fact, losing money, okay? The best thing we can do is maximize the land. I don't know, as a developer, if you can organically develop over there. The infrastructure is just not there. You know, would you put a hotel over there without anything else? Would you put an apartment building over there?
Yes, that's
without anything else?
When I see people for and against the project, I always read and see what they're saying. And so far, some of the naysayers keep throwing out there, why don't we let it happen organically?
Yeah.
And I think that seems silly because that's the point I wanted to make, is that, sure, a developer may eventually go put a hotel there, but it would happen much faster if they know it's going to be 10 blocks.
But there's going to be other things over there.
Activity and people and office and multifam. So, yeah, I think it's going to happen way faster with this, and it's going to be a better plan. Any kind of development is better when you look at the whole community, the whole neighborhood, whatever it is, in one big picture versus just an isolated parcel. And so the fact that this will flow together in a cohesive fashion, I think is a big deal that the organic folks are missing, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, no, I think it. There's a lot of opportunity.
Look at Scott's Addition, a neighborhood that is growing organically, but you still have a good-looking building next to an ugly-looking building next to
an
unkept lot next to sidewalk with weeds growing through it. So that wouldn't happen in a cohesive plan like
you
this.
Put it all in there at once, and people will come. There are other fascinating aspects of it. I mean, you know, for one, there's minority business participation. So $300 million in contracts for minority contractors have been set aside. The Blues Armory building is this historic, beautiful building that is kind of forgotten. It's attached to 6th Street Marketplace.
Yeah.
food market on the first floor, a blues, jazz club, comedy club, about 800 seats. So smaller than the National, smaller than Carpenter Center, right? One really fun fact, they're going to improve a lot of the streetscapes and the infrastructure over there. So that weird dip on Lee Street that kind of goes under the Coliseum, that's going to be brought back up to grade. How? We're going to crush the Coliseum and dump it into the road to fill it up. So you're literally going to be able to drive on top of the Coliseum in 2 years.
That's pretty cool.
If this gets approved.
And I mean, I think everybody gets this part. The Coliseum is not attracting high-end acts. Charlottesville JP. I've been to 7 concerts at JPJ in the last 10 years. I've been to 1 at Richmond.
What was the last one you went to?
At Richmond?
In Richmond.
I think it was Tim McGraw and Faith Hill.
Okay.
For some reason, they still go there.
Ago?
I know it was in the last 2, but
the best
circus,
answer someone
I think
is
I went to the circus there.
We ask a lot of people what the last concert they went to. The best answer someone gave was the Jackson 5.
It's been a while since they've been touring.
At least like 2005 or so. Yeah.
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 R.I.P. to Michael and Tito. And ever, I don't know if Tito's still alive.
But yeah, you'd have a state-of-the-art arena, the biggest in Virginia. But again, that is one component of a bigger vision. So bottom line, I encourage anyone to look at the plan, study it, and share your opinion. We want, you know, we're on a big push right now to actually get out and talk to people and share their opinions on our website. We want everyone giving their voice, and this project is different from what Richmond has seen in the past.
Yeah, and I think part of the reason it's going to work is because it starts from a good place. The developers involved, when they drive through 95 and see the Coliseum, and it embarrasses them that that's their home city, and it looks like crap, and it, part of it is pride in the city.
Yeah.
I think so. I'm sure the developers will make money, don't get me wrong, but I don't think that's the only intent they have here. It's to make the city a better place, a better walkable, livable community. So
absolutely.
I think we should all be behind that.
Yeah. The last thing, last piece of that is too, is public safety building is going to come down.
Yeah.
We're going to move the city services out of there to a place where people can get them, and a bus transfer station as well.
Yeah.
So a lot of great things the community needs in one 10-block span.
I'm excited about it. I don't have a horse in the race, but I think it's going to help us all that live and work and play in the city.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I'm truly excited. So thank you for the work that you're doing on that.
Absolutely. Thanks to the many people who've been involved in this. It's a lot of faces. So.
Sure. Anything else you want to talk about today while we're here at the Urban Hang
while
Suite?
While we're here at the Urban Hang Suite. Do you want to talk about how he went to Key West 10 years ago?
we can talk about 60% of that probably on camera.
We did play credit card roulette.
We did.
Every meal. Well, so there were 8 of us, 7 meals. So each person got knocked out. You only had to pay once.
Right.
But you.
I was the winner of credit card roulette.
You did buy us Burger King on the way out.
That's true.
I'll never forget
we're
that
even?
Whopper. We're even, yeah.
Yeah. And that was a fantastic trip. You guys should hear all about it, folks.
You should definitely go to Key
West. It was amazing. It was a life-changing experience.
For me,
I don't think you and I would be as good of friends as we are today without that trip.
We've,
and all with Austin
really
in there as well.
Solidified there, that bond.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. Well, thank you so much
for
doing what you do to make Richmond an awesome place.
Thank
that was a bad.
You,
let's try that again.
Thank
that was
you,
a better handshake. Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
See ya. Three questions?
All right, so we always end with 3 questions.
Are you going to do the duck one?
I don't know the duck one.
Would you rather fight a duck? What is it, a duck with a body of a horse, or a horse with a body of a duck?
Would I rather eat that or be
No, hold on. It's like the head of the duck.
Right.
You know what I mean? What's the question? Would you rather fight a duck?
A fight now,
a
we're
horse,
fighting.
It's like a horse with a duck's head.
Okay.
Or a horse head on a duck's body.
Oh.
I'm getting this way wrong.
I'd rather eat a duck. I don't want to eat a horse. I'd rather fight the duck because it's smaller, the duck body.
This isn't
smaller.
Even the right question.
I don't want to be any of those things.
Big time.
So let's move into my 3 questions.
Okay.
Is that okay?
That was a terrible.
we usually end with 3 questions about Richmond. What is your favorite restaurant in Richmond?
My favorite restaurant in Richmond, I think I'm going to go with Mama Zoo.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, Bruce Springsteen. You're a big Bruce Springsteen fan, so that's why.
Those are the only shows I've ever seen at the Coliseum.
And that's his favorite restaurant in Richmond. You knew that.
Oh, that was? He did go there.
That was subliminal. It sunk in there at some
point. When he was in town, I actually drove downtown to try and
to see
him
at
the Jefferson.
You tried to touch his shoulder?
Happen.
Good for you. What is your favorite outdoor activity to do in Richmond or place?
The river. I love the teapot in that park across there.
Okay.
It's a good hike. Good place to take the kids.
Very
on
nice.
A really hot day on that bridge.
Okay. Yeah. And finally, you're bringing a friend into Richmond for the weekend. This person's never been here. You have from Friday afternoon until Sunday around noon to show them your city. What are you going to do with that person that weekend?
You take them up to Church Hill, grab some bread, a croissant.
Okay. If you will.
As the French say.
Right.
You go down to the Canal Walk, the Capitol Trail. See
right.
That. Definitely get back out to the bridge, as I've said.
Right.
Show them the Jefferson.
Okay.
Show them a little bit of history, but not much.
Right.
I'm leaving out something here.
Restaurant, brunch spot, a music venue.
A rooftop. Go to a rooftop bar.
Okay.
I like the Graduate.
Okay.
It's kind of my style.
Yeah.
And then brewery hop. For the afternoon.
And Scott's Edition Brewery hopping?
Yeah, I think Scott's Edition Brewery hopping, yeah.
Gotcha. That's kind of the scene. Brewery or beer that's brewed here in Richmond?
Oh, man. You know, that new Hardywood Sun Crush is pretty good. Have you
had
that?
No,
it's like a tea beer.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But the Vale has some pretty potent.
You have like IPAs.
Nice double
IPAs,
IPA.
Triple
yeah.
IPAs.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, we'll close again. Thank you again for joining us.
Absolutely.
I am going to find that duck.
The duck question.
I'm sure the viewers will be dying to see that question.
Yeah.
So, please just submit it in the comments below.
We're going to put it on the, we'll put it like on the screen, like right here.
Right. Yeah.
Right
you have
there.
A duck and a horse.
Yeah. It is a real question,
okay.
I swear.
No, I believe you.
Thank you.
And they do too. All right. Thanks, Jeff.
See ya.